Welcome to the Aftershock Central Podcast with Martin and Travis. No full Voltron this week. Ronnie has decided it's more important to shoot fireworks than to talk about Aftershock Comics. We see where his priorities lie. That guy.
He's a patriot, dude.
He is. I gotta give him that. Props to you, Ronnie. He's making America great again, you know what I mean?
Oh, I see.
Let's talk about some comics, but before that, I want to briefly mention, I don't know if you heard since you're on vacation, Travis, but Animosity has been picked up by Legendary Films.
Yeah, I heard, man, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's good, great news.
Yeah, I wonder, like, how much you can do in a single film, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Like, either, like, series of films or, like a TV show, but I guess a TV show would be, like, insanely expensive.
Yeah, I guess so. And the movie would be, too. And I would assume it would be something like the Jungle Book remake that they did, where it was, like, a mix of real animals and CG.
Yeah.
I think that would probably work pretty well.
Yeah, there's going to have to be a lot of CG because, yeah, like there's so many different types of animals, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, like, I think, you know, you could even do, like, animation. I know they're not going to do that, but, like, you know, like, I think it would kind of lend itself to the type of story it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. All right, let's get to some books. We have two books this week. One, as I mentioned to Ronnie last episode, that I thought was going to be ending, like, 3 months ago. And that is Jimmy's Bastards, number 9. I mean, seriously, didn't you think this was a 6 issue?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I haven't followed the solicits as much, but, yeah, it kept going and going. Yeah, and even now, like, there's kind of a cliffhanger ending.
Yeah. So, this is Jimmy's Bastards number 9, the final issue. By the way, I don't want to say that, like, I didn't enjoy this book, because I love Jimmy's Bastards. What I'm saying is, every issue comes, you know, usually you get 6 issues to an Aftershock Mini. And so I'm used to the 6 issue thing, and then, like, here comes Jimmy's Bastards 7, and I'm like, oh, alright, well then this is the last issue. And then 8 comes out, and I'm like, alright, here's the last issue. And now 9 is out, and finally, we have presumably the last issue.
Volume 1.
Yeah, Volume 1. The end of Volume 1. Jimmy's Bastards. This is written by Garth Ennis with art by Russ Brown. And I love this cover. This is my favorite cover of the bunch.
Okay, so that's like, is that Nancy on the cover? Like,
Yeah.
Or who? Like, I she kind of didn't look like herself to me. Like, if that makes sense.
Yeah, maybe it's just the look on her face.
Yeah, I mean, it's an extreme look, so.
Yeah. It's a different artist also. You know, Russ Brown does the interiors. The cover is by Jose Villarubia.
Mm-hmm.
Who I love, by the way. Or Andy Clark and Jose Villarubia. Colors by John Kalis and letters by Rob Steen. So, all right, let's get to this. Final issue. I don't have a lot to say about this issue. I thought this was quite possibly the most straightforward, and also potentially the most insane of the bunch. And the reason I say that is the repercussions of what happens at the end when we're wrapping up the story, where this, like, virus has spread all around the world and everyone's becoming transgender, basically.
Yeah, I thought that was the most interesting part of the whole story, you know? Like that's the way all of that was kind of just in, like, in pieces, although obviously exaggerated, like, you know, it's a little bit exaggerated to think that, like, everybody would just, like, screw in public if this happens.
Yeah, right.
So, it's, you know, not necessarily, like, a deep dive in that as an idea ever. You know, it's like, it's for jokes, and they do make a nod to it here and say that, like, and some people chose to stay that way, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's interesting, but it was like, I'm kind of more interested in that than I am, like, maybe some of the other things about, like, what the series was.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, we do get a nice resolution, I would say, to the main storyline of the book, which is all of his kids wanting to kill him, right? We finally have the showdown between...
Almost all.
Oh, almost all. We have the final showdown between Jimmy and Junior, who apparently really hates being called Junior, and that's his downfall, right? Because Jimmy uses that to his advantage and basically throws them off the lighthouse or wherever they're at. But I thought that whole sequence of events was pretty comedic, because we've got Jimmy and Junior up on the tower, and then Nancy is fighting the two other siblings, the really big buff one and the guy and the girl that can't speak because her teeth got knocked out. I loved her dialogue. It was kind of hard to read, and after a while, I just quit reading it, because like it didn't really matter what she said, right? It just it was like a jumble of sounds. And I think you got a lot of really what was happening, the interaction between the characters, just based on the art alone. Did you read it that way, or did you actually try to figure out what she was saying?
Oh, no, I figured out what she was saying pretty much for the most part. And, you know, it's like, you know, typically filthy, you know, yeah, like, right. And it's funny, for sure, you know, like, she is angry, it's fair to say. I like that part, you know, like, it definitely was a lot of work, and I agree it's not ultimately necessary. I'm sure you got the gist of it exactly.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it was pretty comedic too, because like Junior apparently wants to bang his sister in front of his dad because Nancy is the only kid that he has that he really loves, and I don't know if they really say why. I mean, my assumption is because that was his first kid, right? His firstborn, and the relationship he had with her mom was a little awkward, like he was a lot younger than she was, and so I think it made an obvious impression on him as a person, and that's why she was the most important to him. Or did you get something else out of that?
No, that's actually like a pretty good idea of like why she's special. You know, besides obviously, you know, I think perhaps she reminds him of her mother, you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
who sounds like she was like, you know, super together, motivated, like accomplished. So I think he could admire that even not through the lens of like, oh, this was like, you know, like a pretty awesome person that I banged.
Yeah.
One thing I thought was interesting is, like, in the telling of that story, is like, I was 15, and she was much older, right? Or, you know, like...
Yeah.
So it kind of strikes me, maybe, like, whether that experience, you could say, like, kind of pushed him towards, like, a more sexually compulsive lifestyle.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's interesting. You know, and like kind of a soft touch, like they didn't really, you know, completely spell it out.
Yeah, I mean, even through all the humor in this book and the crude jokes, all the bald jokes, for example, especially towards the end, I think there's a lot of like deep emotional stuff in this one issue. You know, like he's coming to terms with what he did. Junior can't do that, and that's why he's got to die. You know, Nancy has known all along that that Jimmy was her dad, and he's known all along that she was his daughter because I guess she looks like her mom, and that's how he figured it out. And I like that. I like the whole interaction. And the last few pages were really touching. You know, like Jimmy and Nancy are still having a relationship. They go out to dinner. Like, you know, she's dating somebody, and the guy is too chicken crap to meet Jimmy because he's Jimmy. And I like that whole thing. You know, I think it said a lot about this character who, for, you know, the 9 issues, we saw him be so outrageous.
Yeah, definitely, you know. And, like, you know, I don't think, you know, this is the same Jimmy by a long shot that, like, started the story, you know. Like they included other things about his arc about, like, and, you know, like, sounds like he knows a lady, but, like, they're not, like... doing the nasty yet, you know, like he's taking it slow.
Yep.
So yeah, he seems like a different character at the end.
Yep. It's nice. Nice character progression, which I dig. All right. Let's write this one up. I'll let you go first on this one.
Okay, so I'll go 4 out of 5 incest grandbaby Tamos.
Oh, we didn't.
Wait,
yeah, we didn't talk about that reveal.
Can I say that, like, if the whole storyline wasn't already disturbing enough, like, that really was just, like, a crazy shock at the end. So, you know, I think we mentioned it on some level. Like, I think maybe I mentioned it at some point because he clearly doesn't use protection and he's, like, having sex with all his daughters.
Yeah, right.
So it would stand to reason that that might happen.
Sure.
Yeah. And also, like, had they marketed the baby machine that, like can watch and care for a baby without supervision, like, that could make some money as, like, you know, that after a year of babysitting, it pays for itself.
Sure. Dude, after a freaking month, wait till we have kids.
Yeah. So Jimmy Jr. is an idiot.
He is. He is. I'm also going to give it a 4 out of 5. I thought this was a fantastic ending. And, yeah, like, you know, like I said, I love the character progression and this issue really paid off for me. And, I'm definitely going to buy this in trade and read it all at once. So look forward to volume 2 if they do one. If they do one, there's definitely a possibility. All right. Let's go from there to Dark Arc number 8. This is written by Cullen Bunn. We have art by Juan Doe and letters by Ryan Hill. And in this issue, we get a lot more flashbacks into the pre-flood era and how this whole thing came about. We also learn about the monster and who the monster is. And that was the most interesting part of this issue to me because I love Greek mythology. And Typhon and Echidna are central parts of the origin story of Greek mythology because they're related to the Titans, right? And so they gave birth to all the monsters in all of Greek mythology. And so that really made this whole story make sense as to why these monsters exist and maybe why the whole relationship between Noah and, oh, I keep forgetting his name, Shrey, and God and the angels and the devil, why maybe none of that is really made clear. And it's pretty obvious to me that Echidna is a big part of the story, right? Because I think one of the things that is said in this issue when Shrey is talking to Echidna is something to the effect of like she says, your God is trying to replace me. Like I'm the original God. Like, you know, all these monsters are my children. And, you know, like, why does he want to destroy my kids so he can take my spot as the one true God? And I thought that was really interesting and not something that I normally see in comic books.
Yeah, dude, that's awesome. It's definitely exciting, like, revelation. You know, like, and essentially it kind of opens up a third front in the war, explains like the premise more, you know, like there, it's not just like God and the devil. It's, you know, it's also at least this like monster heritage, you know, and maybe others, you know, maybe like the Greek pantheon was around or still out there, you know. But just the players we know that are on the table, you know, it almost would stand to reason that, like, you know, God and the devil might, like, join forces to push out, like, the monsters, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was interesting. It did kind of throw me for a loop a little bit, though, because the whole time Echidna's been feeding on animals, and now that Shrey has found that Echidna exists and is there, he's feeding monsters to her.
Yeah,
and I thought it was a little odd that she would eat her own children, first of all. Although that's not something that's, you know, out of the way in Greek mythology, right? Like, that was a big thing. That's how Zeus became.
Yeah, like, Cronos ate his own children.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cronos ate his kids. So, you know, that whole thing made sense in relation to that mythology. But, you know, I wonder for the average reader who's reading this, if they would catch that, right? Because you would have to know that additional bit of information to understand why this is maybe not so strange. But what I found curious, though, what I found curious is, why is she attacking or asking for animal sacrifices? I mean, I know why, right? Like, she's a god, and humanity always offered sacrifices to appease this god. But why not just attack the Ark and eat the people on the Ark, right? Because that's what she threatens Shrey with. She's like, you know, you want to make a deal with me? I can just go to your ark and eat all your people. And he's like, well, yeah. you're not going to do that. He's like, I'll feed you all the people that we have for food for the monsters, and that'll be the trade. But you got to leave Noah's Ark alone.
Yeah, I mean, but it did grab a giraffe, right?
It did, yes.
So I think that it's like they kind of pulled it off the ark and were like, let's talk about it. And like that was this. It seems like, you know, next play is for Chitna to like set loose her children, destroy the boat, you know, overthrow like Shrey and his family. And then I don't know what next, you know, like they could just climb aboard like Shrey is. And I don't know, like chill there until the flood stops.
I mean, maybe. But like ultimately, do we know exactly what Shrey is getting out of this whole thing? Because I mean, I think he's risking a lot to go and talk to Echidna and save Noah's Ark, right? And my assumption is Noah doesn't know that his Ark is out there, the Dark Ark is there.
Who doesn't know the Dark Ark is there?
Noah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess we can assume that. Yeah, I don't know, man.
I mean, I understand why he's doing it, right? Because his mission is to save the monsters, and they need the animals and the people in Noah's Ark in order to feed once the flood recedes. But like, exactly what is Shrey getting out of it, right? Because I mean, he mentions in this issue that he's going to be forgotten in history, and that is the case, right? Because we don't know about Shrey, but we know about Noah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he, I don't know if we saw it or not, but like it seems like implicitly the offer is do this and like you and your family will be safe or something, like something along those lines. But I also am curious, beside that, kind of, like, what is the purpose of, like, what's the devil's objective with this, you know, boat full of monsters that he doesn't really have dominion over, you know? Is he trying to make a play to get them on his side so that, like, I don't know, he can fight against heaven or, you know, I don't know.
I mean, my assumption is the play is just to get back at God for kicking him out of heaven. Right, like I don't see any other play. He's just doing it just to be spiteful. And I mean, we really haven't seen the devil, we saw him in one page, maybe in one issue,
briefly. Yeah,
yeah, it was like one panel. So we don't know anything about that side of everything. We haven't seen God at all, right? The only thing we know about God is what Noah says, what Shrey says, what people are saying in the flashback scenes, and then whatever the angels mentioned at the end of whatever issue that was, 5 or 6. You know, so the central deities that are making this whole thing happen, we know nothing about, you know? And right now, the most important figure seems to be Echidna because we know her motivation for things. But everything else is kind of hearsay.
Yeah. I mean, we do directly see the devil, but we don't know what his purposes are, and certainly, like, you can't really ever trust what he's doing.
Sure.
In generalities. Can I ask about something that interested me, like from the beginning of the issue?
Yeah.
When they're in flashback, you know, the girl is taking Noah's daughter, like to see the tablets or whatever.
Yep.
Before that, she's like, they're complaining about the children they're turning away from Shrey's Ark, like the children and the old ladies.
Yep.
And like, it's almost like, you know, Shrey is the monster for not bringing them on board, you know, like even though arguably, you know, maybe he's sparing them from being imprisoned and then feasted on by monsters. But you know, Noah doesn't seem to be taking lots of people on his ark. So I thought it was interesting that they were leaning on that, but Noah like somehow is like not subject to the same expectations.
Yeah, and I guess maybe we just don't know enough about who Shrey and Noah were in relation to these people before the flood, before the ark was getting built. My assumption is that they're leaning on Shrey because Shrey does have other people helping him. But of course, the reason for that is he needs people to feed to the monsters, right? Whereas Noah doesn't have that. It's just him and his family working on the ark.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if they were all his family or whether it was just, whether he had, like, workers as well.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that is pretty interesting. But of course, like, you know, he's a warlock, so he's got some power, and maybe they're just like, okay, maybe this guy knows what he's doing, you know?
Yeah, not only that, but he kind of had a following, it seems like.
Yeah, right.
Like, they're like you go to him when something, you know, bad is happening, like the girl from Harrow County, you know?
Oh, yeah, maybe, it's possible.
Yeah, so, like, and, you know, obviously he's not remembered afterwards, and Noah is, as you said.
Yeah, I thought this whole issue was really interesting. The, you know, the fact that some of these monsters don't even exist out in the world, right? It's almost like they're in like a carbonite panel thing, like Han Solo, you know, in that cave. Cause like, what's his name? Krull? He's there, the manticore. He's there, but it's almost like he's protecting the cave from anybody entering, right? Cause we don't see any other monsters aside from Krull in that cave scene. And Shrey goes there with his people to like recruit the monsters. So my assumption is that something has already been happening where the monsters are kind of hiding out.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, monsters may want to hide out, you know, and like, kind of hunt as best they can, mm-hmm. you know. But, like, you know, these, I don't know if they all seem to be, like, living out in the open or, like, have, like, conspicuous dwellings.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought that was interesting, and, you know, like, I wonder how that pairs with, like, what we've seen of his character, which largely seems to be, like, I want to, like, do something with the help of this girl, you know?
Sure.
So I don't know if that's connected or if that's just pushing two character things together.
Yep. Yeah, that's possible. Anything else you want to say about this book, or do we rate it up?
I just want to say that, like, I thought that the art in this issue especially was like kind of mind blowing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, I think based on the fact that Echidna's character design is like mostly octopus like, it does tend to lend to more majestic panels that kind of blow you away, you know?
But it also has it almost looks like it has multiple faces and it's gnarly, dude. And on those, like, big, like, double-page splashes, you know, like it's Wando, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, he's always great, but I think this is, like, the most impressive issue of the series so far.
I'll give you that. All right, let's rate it up. I'll go first this time. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5 as well. I really love this book. I really do. I think, especially now that we're getting more revelations and the story is starting to piece together. It really does get better and better every issue.
Yeah, you know, I loved it too. Like, I think you're right about it kind of upping the bar, you know, cracking some stuff open, and it's like, it's a sexy book. Mm-hmm. So I'll go 4.5 out of 5.
Nice. Very nice. Next week, we have two books. We have Betrothed number 5, Ronnie's favorite book, Betrothed. And then what will surely become one of my favorites, Relay number 1, is coming out next week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, buddy. So I'm excited for that one. If you want to get in touch with us, Twitter is usually the best place, at Rumbar316, at The Great Magnet, at GeekVine, at Aftershock Pod. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Shock the world.
Yeah, baby.